God is love, for God so loved the world, the whole world, not just my world. God so loved every person in this world and sent Jesus to teach us what love looks like.
प्यार सहनशील होता है.
L'amour est plein de bonté. L'amour.
El amor no es envidia.
Liefde pronkt niet.
Любовь не гордится.
사랑에는 실패가 없다.
L'amour pas égoïste.
빙 yêu sẽ chẳng dễ dàng nóng giận.
Iegatik sa knajto kako puerkul kan.
Premlay dushma prasanna gatena.
El muhabba tefra fil haq.
Bhalobasha sorboda rokha kore.
Amour sempre confirma.
Liebe sucht nicht seinen eigenen Vorteil.
Amour toujours persévère.
Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. To love every person, every nationality, every background, every history, every soul. Because in life we find faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
First John chapter 4 is where we will be at this morning. If you're using one of our Bibles, it's page 863. As we get things started, I want to give out two more very quick announcements. The first one is about Miss Karen Feldman. I hope you saw in the email that was sent out this week that she is doing well. Her surgery went well on Wednesday. She is at home and she is resting. So thank you for your prayers and your calls and your care and concern for Miss Karen. But she is at home resting and doing well. And we praise God that the surgery was a success. Also, Jay Walker parents and Jay Walker students going to Winterfest. There is a meeting after service upstairs in the Jay Walker's room. So please don't forget about that. Before we get into the heart of our message this morning, a very quick reminder about our vision and our mission here at Church in the Falls. Our vision is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And we do that by kind of exercising our mission of embracing God, encouraging one another, equipping each other to go out and to engage the world. To know the Lord Jesus, to make Him known by embracing, encouraging, equipping so that we may go out and engage. Throughout the month of February, we're going to be doing a series called The School of Love, where each week we're going to be tackling and taking on certain themes and certain directions of how the biblical narrative portrays this powerful word, love. And I heard Scott McKnight give a talk some years ago. And in his talk, he shared that for an entire year, he had been studying five biblical words of our one English word, love. An entire year wrestling and studying five biblical words for our one English word, love. The first one that he looked at from the First Testament, from our Old Testament, is the Hebrew word chesed. And you got to do the ha or you're not going to say it right. And if you don't spit on your neighbor, you're not saying it right. So you've got the chesed, which simply means God's loving kindness, God's mercy. We get the word chesed out of Exodus 34, verse 6, which will be on the screen. And he passed in front of Moses, referring to God, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in chesed and faithfulness. So this word chesed, Hebrew word, describing God's nature, describing a part of God's identity. This is who God is. He is one who is abounding in loving kindness, abounding in mercy. There are four words in our New Testaments, in the ancient Greek language, that sum up our one English word, love. And what Scott learned throughout this entire year of wrestling with these five words is that our one English word for love basically means nothing. It means nothing because we say it in all sorts of different contexts. We say it in all sorts of different meanings. We love our dogs. Some of you love cats. I have no clue why. We love Chipotle. We love ice cream. Some of us, not naming any names, love white Nike socks. We love our favorite sports teams, whether they're good or whether they're bad. It doesn't matter. We love them nonetheless. And what Scott is getting at is that we need more English words for love. Better ways of defining and describing the power of the word love. So McKnight put together a definition for love that I find quite useful and helpful and directional. I'm pretty confident I've shared this definition with you all before. This is going to be kind of a statement that's going to drive the entire month of February. Scott defined love as a rugged commitment to be with someone, to be for someone, with Christ as the standard for as long as it takes. There's a lot in that definition. It's a very helpful definition. It's a very directional definition. When it comes to the word love in our Bibles, there are books where the word is a major, major theme. For example, the book of Psalms, the word love is used over 157 times. In the book of Deuteronomy, 29 times. In the Gospel of John, 38 times. And within John's own letters, our 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it's used 34 times. One example is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37. Because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength. So within the context of this statement, God's love is directly connected to his deliverance. God's love is directly connected to his presence. His, I will not leave you abandoned, no matter what you feel like, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances, I love you. I will deliver you. My presence will be with you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. We sang this verse this morning out of Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is known in Jewish tradition as the Shema. Throughout ancient Judaism, they would wake every morning, and I'm sure it's the same today for those who are practicing Jews who take their faith seriously. They wake up every morning and they pronounce or they announce the Shema over their day. This would be an excellent practice for you to do on a daily basis as you go about your day. Before you even leave the house, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. And then, boom, I'm going to go about my day. The Shema. And then Jesus adds, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. McKnight also coined the phrase Jesus Creed. And this statement, this Jesus Creed, directed the entirety of Jesus' ministry. It directed the entirety of Jesus' life. What would it do to you and I if we left our homes every day living this out? Before I turn the ignition on in the car, before I step foot out of wherever I'm going, before I get out of my car and go into the grocery store, before I go into the office, for whatever I'm going to get myself into. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Loving oneself is implied in the Jesus Creed. Loving oneself is implied within the Jesus Creed. Other passages such as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It just so happens that 1 John 3:16 sounds very similar. No coincidence at all, right? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. In order to love well, to love God and to love others, we must be willing to allow ourselves to be loved. Which can be very, very hard. It can be very, very difficult. In order to love well, to love God, and to love others, we must be willing to allow ourselves to be loved. If you take the 99 most influential people ever throughout human history, you take all 99 of them, past, present, and future, Jesus has had the most influence on humankind than all of those people added together. I have spent some time reflecting on how I myself came to faith. And if you sat down and thought about how you came to faith, about the people that God placed in your life at just the right time, at just the right moment, I think you would be quite amazed, as I was amazed when I look back and think about how I came to faith, in the people that God placed in my life. It is amazing how each one of us have been profoundly influenced by Jesus. Again, if you take the 99 most influential people throughout history, those who were and those who are currently and those who will be, and you add them all up, they don't come close to the impact and influence that Jesus had. A man that no one living has seen in the flesh, but because of someone, a grandparent, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, a coach, someone that you saw, someone that you experienced, the impact and influence of Jesus in that someone made you stop and think, you know what, maybe there is something to this. This can't just be hocus pocus, magic, made up stuff. There's something different about Jesus and his way, because this person wouldn't be the way that they are without it. I know this person. This person is different because of something outside of himself or herself. We've all experienced that. Jesus fully and completely lived and declared this one thing: God loves you. God loves you. This is how much God the Father loves you. He sent Jesus. Jesus saying this to you: he sent me to teach, to show, to demonstrate, to live, to die, to trust in God the Father so much that he would be willing to give up his life, knowing that his Father would raise him from the dead. He sent me to fully embody God's love for you. He sent Jesus to fully embody God's love for you, for your neighbor, and your enemy. There is a song that I've played on Sundays before. Not going to play it this morning. But every time I think about the word love, every time I think about God's love, the song is called Love Song. And it's put together by Third Day some decades ago. And if you haven't heard that song, or if you listen to it and you haven't listened to it in a while, I really encourage you to find that song on YouTube, to find it on whatever you stream to get music. The title is simple. It's something easy to remember. It's just called Love Song. It is a powerful, powerful song. And if you're struggling with this acceptance or this reality that God loves you, God loves you. He sent Jesus to love you. If you struggle hearing that, if you struggle accepting that, take some time today, not tomorrow because you'll forget and you won't do it. Take some time today. Listen to that song. Close your eyes. Imagine Jesus singing that to you. If you need to place the Jonathan from The Chosen in your mental mind as Jesus, then do it. Whatever you need to do to hear Jesus tell you, God loves you. I encourage you to do that. There are going to be some passages that come up often throughout this month. But this one longer passage will be the driving text throughout this entire series. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And before we dive into this text, let's pray together. Father, as we dive into your word, God, help some of us in this room that really need to hear this word afresh. God, whatever you need to do to clean out our ears so that we can hear this word in our mind, God, I ask that you would do it. Father, I pray that whatever you need to do to clean out maybe the coldness, maybe the stubbornness of our hearts so that we can hear this word afresh, God, I pray that you would do it. God, I pray for those who are hearing this word for the first time. May your truth, may your love overwhelm them through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all ask this. Amen. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God. There's not a single one of us in this room that has seen Jesus in the flesh. But many of us, and I hope all of us, can think of one person whom this passage was a truth statement for how they lived. I haven't seen God, but this is what I do know. My grandparent, my parent, my aunt, my uncle, this friend, whomever it may be, they embodied this verse. They made this verse real and true. So there has to be something about this Jesus guy. There has to be something. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Do you hear the promise in that? Anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in them. God lives in them and they in God. God loves you. You're not abandoned in this world. You're not alone in this world. Those of you that have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, this is a truth statement. God lives in you, and you in God. This is how love is made complete among us. So that, and some of us need to hear it. Some of us really need to hear this verse because of fear of what's going to happen to us when we die. And all of us are going to have to face that unless Jesus comes. All of us are going to have to face that truth and that reality in life that one day, that day is coming. Unless Jesus comes first. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Some of us need to be praying that God, don't make me afraid. Help me not be afraid anymore. Help me believe, help me trust, help me lean on, help me depend upon, help me not be afraid anymore. I'm tired of being afraid. It's gotten me nowhere but in desperation, in anxiety, no hair. Help me not be afraid anymore. Help me to believe. Help me to take the spotlight off of me and what I've done and place it on Jesus, who has done everything for me that I could never do on my own. this whole atoning thing for the sacrifice of my sins that I could never do on my own. You've done that for me. May I rest in that. May I have confidence in that. Help me not be afraid anymore. We love because He first loved us. If we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And He has given us this command. Those who love God must love one another. If there's a big idea that I would like for us to take away from this teaching this morning, is what matters in life is the way that I and the way that you love God and love others. The big theme here, the school of love that we are all a part of, that we are all in process of, that we're all training in, that we're all learning in. What matters in life, when it's all said and done, is how I love God and how I love others. And the way I allow God and others to love me. And I think this is where it gets hard. We can read Mark 12. We can sing Mark 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We can chant that as we leave our homes and as we direct our day. We can go and live that out. But when it becomes hard, is do I allow God to love me? Me. With all of my secrets, with all of my shadows, with all of my fears, with all of my pain, with all of my hang-ups, with all of my regrets, do I allow God to love me? And do I allow others to love me? With all of my pain, with all of my heartache, with all of my regrets, with all of my stuff, do I allow others to love me? I have read that between the ages of 7 and 12, this is true for maybe the majority of us. Not every single one of us may be able to relate to this. But I have read that between the ages of 7 and 12, many of us have experienced some form of love that has had a profound impact on our lives. There are some moments that we can pinpoint in our hearts and memories that this is where I felt, this is where I knew, this is where I experienced love. Some of us, it's voices that are still in our minds, even of people who have long passed. Their voices are still in our heads and still in our hearts. Some of us, it smells. I can still smell my grandmother's house. Still smell it. It's still there. I can still smell the house that I was raised in. That smell is still deep in my mind and deep in my heart. Some of us, we knew we were loved even though we weren't really told that we were loved. My dad just wasn't one of those guys, but beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew that I was loved. His actions spoke a whole lot louder than his lack of communication to me. I try to be better with that, with Carrie and I's kids, as far as it not being either or, but both and. But I'm pretty sure you could pinpoint a smell, a voice, a time in your life where you knew that you were loved. And it's not because of anything that you did. It just simply was. It's not because just strictly out of obedience. It wasn't strictly out of anything. It just, you were loved and you knew it. For my mom, my grandmother, my dad, Carrie, the girls, Dylan, there are times when I hear from them that they love me. There are times I can still hear my mom's voice, my dad's voice, my grandmother's voice telling me that they loved me. And to this day, when Carrie and the girls, and even when Dylan says it, holy smokes, somebody get a chair because I'm going down. But there's something to it. You and I were created not just to love others. We were created to love others, but not just to love others. You and I were created to allow God and allow others to love us. You and I were created to allow God to love you. You were created to allow others to love you. COVID did a ton of harm. All of us know this. All of us are aware of it. I'm not saying anything new. But COVID did a ton of harm. But one of the things that it did that is still in process of coming to light is how isolation and fear have led people to difficult levels of depression and loneliness. And one way of combating, it's not the only way, but one way of combating loneliness and isolation and depression and sadness is to allow God to let the walls come down. To let the barrier, to let the boundary come down is to allow God and to allow others to love you well. And what I mean by well is Christ is the standard of that love. When we allow God and we allow others to love us, Christ is the standard of what that love looks like. Mark chapter 5, verses 32 through 34. Mark chapter 5 is that sandwich chapter in Mark's gospel where you've got Jairus, the synagogue leader, and you've got the lady who has been struggling for years upon years upon years upon years. And what I love about this moment in her life, out of desperation, out of everything that she had gone through, she says, the walls are coming down. I am tearing down the boundary. I am not letting anything, including myself, get in the way of myself getting to Jesus' love. And she reaches out and she grabs the edge of his cloak. And she's healed. And afterwards, Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, who had touched him. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She made a moment in her life available to be open and honest before the Lord. She opened herself up to allow Jesus to love her. She told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. What dawned on me this week is that she allowed Jesus to love her. What she wanted to do was just done in secret. Really, really quick. Grab it and go and be freed and then go on about her life. Not really allowing anything more than just that. Just this quick moment of healing and redemption and then I can go on about my life. Jesus wasn't having none of that. She allowed Jesus to love her. Do you allow God to love you? Do you come to God with the whole truth about whatever it is? Or are you constantly building walls? Are you constantly just trying to come in here quick on a Sunday morning, just get a little bit and then run out real quick so I can go on about my day, about my week? Do you allow yourself to be loved by God? And just as risky, do you allow yourself to be loved by others? With all of your awkwardness, which every single one of us has, all of our weirdness, all of our quirkiness, all of our ness, do you allow God to love you? Do you allow others to love you? Arise, team, y'all can come back up, please. We are in this school of love together. Loving God and loving others. We are all in the school of love together. Allowing God and allowing others to love us. Some of us are in graduate school. Some of us have been at this for quite some time and doing quite well. Got multiple diplomas hanging up on the wall. We're doing all right in the school of love. Some of us, not quite there yet. Some of us are in middle school. Some of us are in elementary school. But we are all in the school of love together. May loving and being loved be a part of our legacy that we are pursuing after. And may this definition of love, that love is a rugged commitment to be with someone, to be for someone, with Christ as the standard for as long as it takes. May you allow that definition to sink into your heart and to begin to transform you from the inside out. One last thing before we call our service sermon to a close and we have our final song. Every once in a while, we're going to start doing these faith at home invitation things throughout the teaching time, at the end of the teaching time. And for this first one that we're going to start with is, I want to encourage all of you to take 1 Corinthians 13, specifically verses 5 through 8. Excuse me, 4 through 8, love is type of thing. In your bulletin, I give you an exercise, a reflective practice for you to go and do. And within that reflective practice for this week, what I am encouraging everybody to do, faith being practiced at home, is A, to pray that God would help you see God's self in this way. Because according to 1 John 4, God is love. And according to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, these are demonstrations, these are acts of what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to take God's name, God, title, and do Yahweh, do Father, and substitute it with God. Substitute it with love. God is. Yahweh is. Jesus is. And to ask God to help you see God in that way, especially if you're struggling to see God in that way. And to substitute your name as well. Not something that you currently are, even though you may be, but something and someone that you are pursuing to become. Michael is. Michael is. Michael is striving to be kind, patient, slow to anger, abounding in goodness. Take that on. Try it this week. maybe put somebody else's name in there and say, Father, help this person to be like this. Stand with me, please. As our invitation is offered each week, however you need to respond to what God may have spoken through His Word this morning, we encourage you to do so. If you would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come down and see me. Again, one of our shepherds will be in our prayer room if you would like a more closed, more intimate place to share prayer, to be listened to. But however you need to respond, please do so as we worship together.